listener.
KickPod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yulukit Woolen clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the KickPod, a D&M with your besties on the stuff that matters. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello there.
Hello.
Oh, drum roll. Okay, let me take you back to last year. Getting ready for a kick shoot,
yeah.
Knowing that I had this new type of content I was filming that I have never filmed before, that I was so excited with these brand new, really special addition to Kick, or I think anyway. Let me tell you first what it is. It's HIIT. So I'm taking HIIT classes in Kick. Now, you may say you've been in HIIT classes before. Yes, but I am the trainer. This is, and it's HIIT. If you've ever done the treadmill classes in Kick, it's similar in that it's HIIT with a theme of each workout. So we might focus on like motivation or building confidence or letting go of things that are holding us back, like our limiting beliefs or, you know, de-stressing, whatever it might be. Every class has a theme because they want you to finish the class and not only feel energized. Also, HIIT can be very hard and sometimes a bit five more minutes, but I hope.
Yeah.
Because it's got a theme, we're focusing on like building our resilience in our mind strength, and also we're doing HIIT at the same time. So we've actually partnered with Frank Green, which is very exciting. As you know, if you've watched our podcast videos, we carry our Frank Green drink bottles literally everywhere. And a big part of this HIIT is that you can try one of my HIIT classes for free. You don't have to be a Kick subscriber. The link to be able to do that will be in the show notes. And you go into the draw to win an entire year with Kick and a very special prize pack from Frank Green, if that's not enough. Mm-hmm. So that is launching in the app today. But let me take you back. I just want to tell you about my injury story. And this is the back line of this. So I was literally last year when I got a bulge. So I got a bulge disc in my back. We were shooting HIIT in 2 weeks. And so then there's me calling the team being like, guys, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be able to shoot HIIT
in 2 weeks.
And at the same time, the entire team is like,
we just
have
planned.
A plan around me.
Made a plan B.
You know what I love? That everyone believed in me. They were like, okay, Laura, like if you think you'll be back, like sure, that's fine.
No, we didn't. We just said that to you so you didn't feel bad.
I felt horrible.
Like, even if you said, I'm fine, we're doing it, we would have been like, no, you're not.
Well, the thing with the bulge disc is, especially with you then can get a slip disc and then you can be out for 6 to 8 months. Yeah. So I ended up, I remember it was like a week before and I had to make the call, and that was last year in September. Yeah. And so it was meant to come out in Jan and then we couldn't. And the way that we shoot with Kick, it takes a long time between.
We only shoot a couple of times a year.
So then we've had to wait. And I've just been so excited. And I can't even explain like my commitment to my rehab this time, which I'm really proud of myself for. Because it was for me. But also it was so, I could deliver this to the community because I feel like it was just me. I don't know if I would have done it, but I was like, no, I have to share these HIIT classes with everyone because they're really good. So anyway, that's the story.
Yeah.
So hope you enjoyed. And as we said, we obviously have a 7-day free trial. You can try all of Kick, but you can also just try one class if you don't believe us and then you go into the draw, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't know until you try. So try it out. Hope you love it.
In this segment, we discuss the topic of eating disorders, food noise, and disordered eating. And if any of this is triggering to you, we recommend you skip past this one. If you need to reach out to anyone, the Butterfly Foundation is there for you, 8 a.m. till midnight, 7 days a week on 1-800-ED-HOPE.
Okay, Laws and listeners, there's a topic I really want to talk about today, and it's food noise. And if you're like, what the heck is food noise? It's basically all of the thoughts that run through, unfortunately, most of our minds, maybe not every day anymore, but maybe you've been in this phase once before, where you might have guilt or shame around food or just overthinking certain decisions because of basically the toxic diet-like rules that we have been taught our entire lives. And this TikTok basically just shared a whole bunch of her personal thoughts that she goes through on a daily basis.
Okay, we ate really bad yesterday. We're going to do it. We're going to stick to the plan. We're going to fast till 11, but
McMuffin.
I can have black coffee because there's no calories in coffee. 9 o'clock, still
just
two more
three
hours.
Coffees.
What if I ate at 10 o'clock instead
of
11
o'clock? No, we're on a diet.
With that 10:30, no, that's close enough.
How many calories are in this again? Only 72. Dinner. That's
fast. Diet, remember?
I'll have a Coke, no sugar to get me.
Already hungry. What's in the fridge?
No,
I went for a walk. I'd burn some more calories than I could eat.
I'm awake.
4 hours. A little bit won't matter. They say a little bit in moderation is good.
Shit.
Did I eat them all?
What am I going to do? I haven't been for a walk. I said I was going to go for a walk. Oh, I ruined today anyway. But again tomorrow.
And I just, when I came across this, I just felt I felt really sad because I instantly remember feeling that way where like food honestly took over 98% of my brain. Like it was like what I thought about most seconds of the day. And it was very much along the lines of a lot of those things that she was thinking. And I think then what alarmed me was I went into the comment section and so many people related. Like that people said, every single day it's debilitating. This isn't normal for everyone. Oh my God, I feel so understood. I'm so tired of it and I feel so helpless. And it just like, I mean, first of all, it kind of reminded me why we do what we do at Kik and like why it's still so important. And it's still, unfortunately, no matter how much we can try and do as a brand and a business, the fitness industry and the media space that we are all consumed by is there's still so much room for improvement. Basically, there's still much more work to do for the fact that that is so relatable to so many people.
Eating disorders are a mental illness. Totally. And we have both spoken about how we went through disordered eating. But I think with this in particular, for there's people that have an eating disorder, and which is horrible, and it is a horrible illness, and it takes a very long time to work through, and some people don't work through it, and it can be literally life-threatening.
Yeah.
But then there's kind of this mindset that food is calories, food is, you know, up until honestly, and I'm sure there's still these stupid posts and pages that do it. But those stupid posts like, oh, you know, this is how many calories are in a Lindt Easter Bunny if you're going to this is how many minutes you have to run if you're going to eat a Oreo cookie or whatever it might be. Like that type of language, that for me is what was a big part of triggering my disordered eating and put me down that hole, because once I started to look at food in this way of a number, I was in jail in my mind of these thoughts about food. Food controlled my entire life. I was thinking about it all the time, just as we just heard in that TikTok. And then what happens is as well, everyone in like whatever generation, a lot of, not everyone, but a lot of them, they're kind of 40 to above whatever, grew up, and it's not because, it's the environment they grew up in with their parents speaking in this way, like, oh, I better not eat that. Yep. Oh, don't want to use all my calories in one meal, or, oh, I've ridden off the day. Oh, I better go for a walk all this language about food, that is what they grew up with. It's on the TV, The Biggest Loser. I mean, we grew up with The Biggest Loser on TV, right? Yep. Then they go to work and then they talk with their work colleagues about it. And that becomes the conversation at lunch, right? And we have to break the cycle because, you know, for you and I, when we went through our time with disordered eating, like for me, I was able to work through it because I was like, there is so much more to me than the way that my body looks. Because all of this food noise, what it comes down to is talking about food is calories and weight loss and the size of our body, right? That's what it comes down to. And so for me, it was working through the fact that my body, the size of my body is irrelevant to my worth to society. And I always use this quote. This analogy. It's very a bit dark because it's about my funeral. And if you've heard me on a podcast before, I apologize, but I'm never going to stop saying it because I feel like I have to say it to myself sometimes when you go back into those thoughts because it's all around us. But no one is going to get up at my funeral and say, Laura added value to my life in the eulogy because of the size of her body, because she had a six pack, because she was in a calorie deficit, because this is how many, like what? It's not,
100%.
Like because she, every time she had an Easter egg, she did the run. She ran after, not run, give me diarrhea. No, she went running. Do you know what I mean? Society tells us that what is important is the way that the size of our body. And I know I sit here and we have a lot of, we were born into bodies that genetically are smaller, that were accepted, you know, by the modeling industry. And so I know that we have a lot of privilege in having these bodies, right? But for, if you're listening to this right now and you think like this food noise, like, fuck, actually, when I think about it, me thinking about, because when I was in it was like, I would be eating breakfast and the whole time I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to have for lunch? Where am I going to be for lunch? How am I going to control the food? What am I going to eat? Oh, if I eat too much for lunch, I'm going out for dinner. Like shit. And you worry about that all the time. We can't spend 95% of our mental space and our life thinking about something that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think like one of my favorite quotes, because like the food noise is all so consuming and just honestly just drags us down and makes us all feel like shit, that it's the quote of, it's not a dream body if it's a nightmare to maintain. And for me, that speaks obviously to also like maintaining a certain routine with exercise and whatever, trying to like find something that fits into your lifestyle. If it's not going to be sustainable, like it's not the thing that's going to work for you, right? And it's the same with eating. If it's a friggin' nightmare to stick to a certain diet or to restrict yourself some foods you love and everything like that, you don't actually need to do that. And I think when I think back to the way that I used to treat food, because it wasn't down the calorie part. It was really just kind of thinking of good foods and bad foods and labeling that way, or like restricting myself with certain food groups that I just suddenly believed were not good for me anymore. And it was to the point that I was restricting myself from food that my body was craving, that it was okay that it was craving, but I was, you know, restricting it anyway, to the point that I would overeat on either other foods, or I would overeat on that food when I got the chance, when it was in front of me, because I literally had no control. Mm. And so the food noise for me, it's like, it's jarring when you hear it again, but it is also so easy. Like, we're not sitting here right now to say that we have no food noise ourselves. Like, it still exists in our mind, but you can ignore it, or you can move past it, or you can almost speak back to it and just move on. Like, that's the space. Unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever have it. I mean, maybe if someone's never gone through something like an eating disorder or disordered eating or body image issues or anything, maybe they're in a place where they've never listened to that kind of thing. Mm. But I don't know if I will personally ever not have any of those thoughts in a day. Like, there will always be at least one of those thoughts in a day, but I'm just good at ignoring them now. Whereas like when I was younger, I would listen to them and they would like rule my life, right? But I think it's like, take the pressure off. Like, if those thoughts do come up, you're not in a bad way or whatever. It's just like, let's work through how you can ignore them, or just be like, yeah, thanks for coming, but I'm not listening to you today because this is really what I feel like, or whatever it is. And yeah, I'm just sending love to anyone that's like in a really tough spot at the moment if food noise is like super loud or prominent in your life, or if you know anyone as well, because I think it's really hard as well if you've put a lot of work in moving through it and then you might have like a close friend or family member that is still really stuck there. It can be really hard because they're not always open to, you know, hearing new ways of thinking about it or whatever, and that can be really hard to navigate too, and tricky to like be there for them but then also look out for yourself. So yeah, just sending love to anyone who's there right now.
But I think too, if you're listening and you want to help break this cycle that we all want to break, it's thinking about your language and the language that we use. Because I know personally when I'm around food noise, it triggers me and I find myself then, I might at normal, food consumes about probably 5% of my thinking now. And a lot of it is that like, I'm hungry, I need to fuel myself.
Yeah.
If I'm around food noise for 3 days, that noise in my head goes from 5% to 20%.
Yeah.
I have done so much work, but I still find when I'm immersed in it, it's really, it creeps up. And then I have to be like, fuck, I don't want this in my head anymore. And I make the conscious effort. But I think if you're listening right now, it's in the small things, and it's being really conscious with your language and how you're speaking about food. And the more you're conscious with how you're speaking about it, then your subconscious will start believing that, right? But I think if we all make an effort not to contribute to the conversations, then hopefully soon there won't be those conversations anymore.
And I think at the end of the day, like, there is certain elements of media that we can control in our lives, like your social media feed. There's elements of it that we can control. Just have a really good think about who you're following and what is kind of consuming every day that you're scrolling, because we are all spending so much time on our screens, and the messages that you see on there, it's crazy how like how much they can really truly sink in and become a part of your belief system. So if it's a friend, you can always mute them and they will never know. You don't have to unfollow them if you feel like that's going to start something or whatever. But I find that, because I spend a lot of time on social media, both for work and just for pleasure. But I found that when I've gone through my feed and I've just unfollowed or muted anyone that's maybe triggered an old thought in my mind, it's helped like almost instantly.
Yeah.
Because even that act, it's like, I'm consciously unfollowing this person because I know that that didn't make me feel very good. And so I'm aware that that didn't make me feel very good. And it's like already an action in itself. But yeah, and obviously if you are super, super lost, there is dietitians out there. I mean, like, obviously we are huge advocates for our incredible dietitian, Liv Morrison. She does all of our recipes on the Kick app because we love her ethos around food and mindful eating and being aware. Like if you really need some help and education, like there's always people like that can help you as well, because sometimes it can be really hard to sort through the food noise of like what's ridiculous toxic diet culture and what's like, actually, I'm really wanting to know what's going to make me feel good or make me feel energized or like how I can refuel my body to ensure that I've got enough energy, et cetera. Like those kind of things, that's awesome if you're interested in that.
And as we mentioned at the top of the conversation, the Butterfly Foundation is always there to support you from 8 a.m. until midnight on 1-800-ED-HOPE 7 days a week. Welcome to the Kit Court.
We are back.
I am worried.
Look at your face. Do you want me to read it or you read it?
You read it.
Okay, all right, all right. So this has been sent in from a listener. So if you were listening and you're like, oh, I would love to get involved with this Kit Court thing, and you think that you have something that a lot of people kind of sit on the fence with or have a certain opinion about, please share and we can discuss. So I've been invited to a kid-free wedding. I'm not breastfeeding, but I don't have anyone who I'm comfortable leaving my 8-month-old baby with. The bride is standing firm on no kids. Can I just bring my baby anyway and remove myself if he starts making noise?
Okay, so we're coming at this from someone with no children and someone with children.
Yeah.
No way.
Okay, tell me why.
Okay. So if the bride has been very clear on no kids, it's their wedding, like her and her partner's wedding. If I knew the bride was really, really didn't want kids at their wedding, which it's their wedding, it's their day, it's completely up to them, I would actually write it in a way that I would say, hey, I'm really sorry. I haven't been able to get someone to look after Brad. I don't know what their baby's name is anyway. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make the wedding. Now, the reason I would do it like that is not putting then on, I don't know, I would feel uncomfortable on the bride being like, hey, can I bring my child when they've said no, there's no kids?
Yeah.
So I would say to them that I can't come because of the no kids. So they can come back and they can say, actually, don't worry about it. I'd love you to be there, and it's their choice. But I wouldn't show up with the baby if they said no kids, just because it that's a feel like it's the bride's day, it's their wedding. It don't go to their event with a baby if they've said no kids.
Yeah.
Going to a wedding is lovely, but it's more about the people getting married than the guests, right? So the people getting married is the priority.
Yeah.
So if you don't work around what they want, I just feel like you don't go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we stand on the same page with that. I think I was gonna say the same thing in that it's unclear here how much she's actually spoken with the bride. Like she said, she's standing firm, but is that just like in general talking to everyone? Like, yeah, there's no kids, or is it like they've had the conversation and she said no kids? Because I agree, if you have messaged or called this person, the bride, and you have said something along the lines of what Laura suggested and they said no, then yes, it's like you can't just turn up with the baby. So I agree with you on that. I think what's really hard is I know like there's everyone's story with their baby and how comfortable they are with things like babysitters, whether or not they have family around or anything, that's so different, and also their level of anxiousness. Like this person could literally have a mental illness around being as anxious like with leaving their baby with anyone, and that's totally fine. And I think it's what's also unclear in this question is like how close they are, because I feel like if you're a bride and this is your close friend and you know how uncomfortable that situation is, or that they wouldn't have anyone, I would hope that you would reconsider the rule, because it's like, it's a really hard, especially if the bride doesn't have kids themselves, it's a really hard thing to put on someone who's close to you and who would want to go to your wedding. Like, as you said, it's at the end of the day, it's up to you if you end up going or not, and it's your decision. But I also think from the bride's point of view, on the bride's side, that's also a lot if you know that that person doesn't have anyone that they can leave them with, to be like, if they're a close friend of yours. Again, if it's just one of these people on the list that's like
the 30%.
Bit different. But if it's a really close friend, I think what she said is like you would remove if something happened and like they were a distraction or whatever, of course, like leave and go. Don't just sit in the reception or the ceremony with the crying
like
baby.
All the vows, like,
no, that's a no-go. Yeah. I get it and I don't get it, the whole like kid-free thing at a wedding. Because I don't know. I've been to a bunch of weddings that have kids, and I've been to a bunch that don't, and I have the same amount of fun at both.
But that's your personal experience. Some yeah. people might not like kids at events. And if it's but their is it wedding, really,
yeah, no,
that's
I get
their
that.
Choice.
Yeah, I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, if she's, again, it depends on how close these people are. Because this is a close friend.
Okay, but if it's a close friend,
yeah,
and the close friend would know the friend's circumstances, and they've said no kids,
I think that's shitty.
I agree. But what is the reason that they don't want kids at their wedding? Why do I think
probably just because they don't want kids at their wedding?
True.
But what I'm saying is, if they're a close friend and they understand that's a really shitty position to put that mum in, because she'd be thinking, what difference is it going to, like, as if, again, if he makes a fuss, I will remove him from the situation. It's like,
what about this? Yeah. Okay. So it's their close friend that has, totally. I think obviously that's their decision, but it's their wedding and it's their decision. And so I think if they have an opinion that, like, kids don't make any difference, live as much fun, I think it's irrelevant, because it's the person whose wedding is, whose choice it is. Mm. But then also, if your close friend has a kid-free wedding and you have a kid and you don't want to leave your kid with anyone, then that's something, like, that might be a value misalignment, that then you might have to consider that friendship, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's 100%. That, but it's still the person's choice. But what if, for example, so it might be their closer friend, but they've also got 10 cousins coming to the wedding that all have children. So as soon as you let one baby, and then every other person that was told their kids can't come are sitting there like, oh, why were they allowed to bring their child? I wasn't allowed to bring mine. And it's like, once you open the gate up, it's like, okay, that wedding then becomes a 20-child wedding, which, well, I don't know, in this person's opinion, if they don't want any kids, it would make a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. That's a great point.
And that's the guest choice. It's like they don't, it's like they've got their baby, they're choosing. Their choice is not to have anyone look after it. It's also, babysitting is expensive. Someone was telling me the other day at a wedding, they had two weddings in a row and they were far away. Yeah. Like, and so they needed the babysitter for like 8 hours. And usually I think babysitting is like about
$30. $50 an hour.
$30 to $50 an hour.
Yeah.
That's so they have $350 two days in a row. And I'm not saying babysitters shouldn't be paid. Like, they should absolutely be paid. Like, it's very hard.
Yeah.
But it's a cost that, like, obviously if you don't have kids, you don't have to incur. And so that's another thing. Going to a wedding is expensive.
Yeah.
But I do think you can't put that's your choice. And if you choose to stay home with your baby, then it's like, okay, don't go to the wedding. Because it's the people who it's their wedding day, right? Yeah. So it's their choice.
Yeah. I think we're on the same page, because I think, again, if you've already had the conversation, she said no, we're both on the same page that is inappropriate for you to still take them. But I do agree with you. I think it's really on both people and how close their friendship is on deciding what way you're going to go, like whether or not you're going to understand the situation from the bride's point of view, or either or. Like, I think it's a really tricky one.
And that's why it's in the kick court. Okay, court adjourned.
It just reminds me of, like, because Harvey was only 5 months old at your wedding. No. Your November, he's May.
Pumping.
Yeah, I was pumping till like 11 months.
Oh, true.
So he was 6 months old, and yes, I was still breastfeeding, and I got my parents to stay at an Airbnb. I booked them in an Airbnb close to where the wedding was, and because I was still breastfeeding, I had to, and I hadn't, like, got them enough prior, and he wasn't on formula at this point, I had to pump, like, at the wedding. And I remember, I think it was at the very start of the reception, so after the ceremony, I went upstairs, and we were just kind of just, like, Josh and I were just talking about, like, how magical the ceremony was, and I was in, like, my silk dress, and I had my pump on. And then, all of a sudden, this freaking air socket happened, and it just popped off of my boob and fell on the ground, and I started crying because breastfeeding mamas will understand, that is the type of milk you cry over. That is the spilt milk that you absolutely cry over. It is liquid gold, that shit. And also, my dad, I knew, was already on his way to pick up the stuff to then take him and feed him. And of course, at this time as well, like, as a new mum, I'm thinking, I literally saved probably like 10 mil of it. I still gave it to my dad anyway, but I was like, now he's not had a full dinner, he's not going to sleep through the night, they're going to have a shit time, they're not going to be able to comfort him. And it was just like all this anxiousness. And it took me probably like 10 minutes, but I was able to move through it and past it. And when my dad picked it up, he was like, is this?
Glad I came.
Like, yes, don't talk about it.
Was Harvey on formula then?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's extra hard. Yeah.
He was on formula shortly after, basically. But yeah, it was. It's just one of those things. But gosh, it's fun.
What is it time for?
Share.
What is it time for?
Special share.
Share.
My special share is a movie.
A movie.
A movie called Scoop.
Ooh.
So it's based on the true story of how the women of Newsnight, which was the news outlet that secured the Prince Andrew interview in 2019 about his friendship with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. And because I followed the story, it was just so interesting to see how they secured that interview and then also the fact that he thought it was a really good interview and it was a like just to be in this echo chamber of yourself and not realize like – anyway, it was really well done. I really enjoyed it and I liked the cast a lot. That's mine. What is yours?
Love it. Okay, so it's a Call Her Daddy podcast. I feel like I've been shouting out Alex Cooper quite a bit lately, but just doing some really good interviews. And this one is with JoJo Siwa. Do you know who that is?
Yes, Dan's mom. JoJo has come. I don't know a lot about where she came from, but I know she's just reinvented herself with black stars on her eyes in the film clip.
Yeah, so do you know what she was wearing previously to that?
No.
Like gigantic bows, really colourful sequiny, like very young girl. But she's 20, right? And what I loved about this podcast is there is so much, I'm like going to swear here, but shit on the internet right now about JoJo, like so much trolling, so much bullying about her new look or her new song, etc. People just love hanging shit on her. And JoJo does sometimes lean into it. She also sometimes does, like, some of her interviews, some of them have been completely taken out of context and, like, then people are trolling on the base of, like, this small little clip that they do see. But then some of them she's said and, like, you're a bit like, oh, wouldn't you have known that that's...
She is 20, you know, though, isn't
she? She's 20, right? And she, at the end of the day, is just a kid. And what I loved about this interview is she's very, very sure of herself, but at the same time, very open about the fact that she's still learning. And it was just really, it was a really good conversation. Alex did a really good job of like being like, you know, yo, what's up? Because there is some things that are like are a little bit questionable or like this is what's being said, what's actually going on, etc. She handled it really well. And I think it was also like because of the generational difference, like Alex is like our age. But it was a really interesting conversation and just another reminder, even though she seems like she's in a good place, that like it's a freaking human being.
I have never got into Call Her Daddy. I feel like maybe I'll listen to that interview and I'll enjoy it.
You would love it. She basically talks to celebrities about their sex lives and their sex and then really deep.
I love sex. So.
No, but like really deep stuff too. Like she'll go into that and like they're dating and like people are very open and comfortable with talking about stuff. Like I hear stuff from celebrities that I've never heard them speak about before. So she's good at that. But then also the really like deep, like whether they've gone through something mentally or they're great. They're great conversations.
Well, she's the number one female podcaster in the world. So amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation, Zevi. And also the reminder to not judge a book by its cover 100%. And also treat people as humans.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. Yeah.
Thank you. And speaking of incredible women, our Wednesday episode is a amazing episode. So much so that at the end of it, we were like, we have to do a part two.
Yeah.
We're going to do a part two really, really soon because we know after you listen to it, you'll be like, I
need to know more about this person.
So we have got Ash Paraskevas on the podcast on Wednesday. So we hope you enjoy that episode.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed that episode. And as Laura said, like keep an eye out for a second one because there was just so much more we wanted to unpack with Ash. But keep an eye out Wednesday's episode. And then also, as we mentioned earlier in the potty, if you ever want to get involved, we would love you to. We also have a KickPod Facebook group now. So if you're not already in that, we've got a link in our show notes, but you can also just search KickPod on Facebook and
people
find
have
it.
To because guys, if you missed last week's episode, we've been doing this for five years. Yeah. We'll keep it open for a little bit. It's very important.
Sure.
We've been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So also, if you've been listening for that long, if you're not in the Facebook group, well, fair enough, you don't have Facebook. But if you do, please, like, that is where you can talk to us. We talk back. I want to know what you think about everything and your thoughts and et cetera. But the most important thing is we've been doing this for 5 years and we have not got a name for you. Like you called,
a nickname.
You said before listeners and I was like, it doesn't fit. It just felt, not, I was like, it doesn't,
I know.
Like our listeners are our community.
That's why we're doing it.
Our queens and kings and people. I just, so we're like, we need a name for you guys. And yeah. We have got an idea in there that we hope that you enjoy because we've got a voting poll.
Yeah.
Because we want you to decide what you connect with the most.
Yeah.
And then we're going to cycle and we're going to have a name for you. I'm just so excited. Anyway, so please, please be a part of it. If you're listening, you are a part of this decision. So please go into the Facebook group and vote.
Yes.
Please.
And also use the space, as we said, to suggest episode, maybe topics that you don't think we've covered or guests that you would love us to have on or even just shouting out one of your favorite podcasts and what you got from it. We would absolutely love that. And also so that we can ensure that everything that we put out there, you guys continue to enjoy, we have got a survey and it is still open. So if you do complete the survey, you will go in the draw to win a $100 Visa e-gift voucher. We'll pop the link in our show notes. It would be very, very greatly appreciated if you are a listener of this podcast to go and complete
it. Yeah, because basically this survey is going to be our gospel. Every time we talk, no, I'm joking.
You're going to relate to this.
No, no, no. But the it is a survey that helps us inform our planning for what 100%. We're going to talk about, what type of segments we make do sure more of, less of, guests, etc. So if you are thinking, why are you talking about that? Why are you talking about that? Why are you talking about this?
I don't hear that anymore.
That's how you tell us in the survey. Okay, we love you. Okay. We love you so much, guys. Okay, stop whispering. Bye.